You ready?
Oh my God, I'm sweating now. just getting hot over here. All right. What are we coaching on?
You gotta get that Verizon Fios. You can choose from one option to the other one. I'll put on Ask Coaches. So the first thing is I'm having a lot of trouble with just the concept of money and like either not having it or wanting more, or I just feel like there's never
a problem
enough
with wanting more money.
But also like
oh my God, I spent my whole life wanting more money. I must have had problems.
Yeah, but also like not appreciating like where I'm at. So I always I'm not sure if I should do that one or if I should do about wasting food, because I just I've been having a lot of trouble. I finished eating the things I bought when I was at home, even though I wasn't hungry, because I was having trouble throwing it away. So
I'm going to guarantee you that one is directly tied to this money thing.
Yeah, that's why I gave you both, and then it said you can choose.
Let's talk about wasting food.
Yeah.
So did your bank account magically grow delicious when you ate all that food and you weren't hungry? Are you like, oh my God, will you look at my bank account? There's actually more money in there now.
No.
No. Nope.
I'm spending more money because I keep I'm getting through this. Like if I buy food and I say, no, I shouldn't eat it, I throw it away. And then I end up buying more food because I threw it away. And it's just like a never ending cycle.
Well, let me ask you this. What if you just quit buying the food? Could that solve the problem?
In a weird way, I think so. I'm starting this trial of different meal delivery places, because I was listening to some podcasts and saying, well, what's easier than buying food is having meals delivered to me. And the meals are usually healthier. So I actually did that last week, and I can throw those away if I'm not hungry. But when I'm buying those, when I'm buying realistically and I'm eating those foods, I eat it all.
Why do you eat it all? Like, what is the difference between healthy food and being like, oh, it's so easy to throw that away? These foods, I should just eat all of them.
Well, even today I had an acai bowl and I was looking at it and I was like, I am done. And I went through this mental, like, I should just throw it away, but it's healthy. So I threw it away, and I actually did a worksheet real quick just to because I had it printed out for this weekend. And I was just uncomfortable because feel like.
Why were you uncomfortable? So we're going to put ICI bowl in the
fucking acai.
Whatever it is. ACAI, right? I think. We're going to find out. All right. So we threw it away.
Yeah.
Okay. And we wanted to throw it away because we were done eating?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I kept wanting to eat a few more bites because.
Yeah. Why is that a problem though?
Because I wasn't hungry.
Yeah, but why is it a problem for you? It's not that. Like, why do you want coaching on your brain saying a little bit more would be amazing? I want a little bit more, a few more bites.
Because I can't have a few more bites every single time or I'm never going to lose this weight.
Yeah, but you didn't do that. You threw it away.
I guess I don't want it to be I don't say difficult because that's the word I want to say. I just don't want it to be, I guess that's the best word I can think of, that difficult every single time. Every single time.
So you think every single time, how old are you, Amaka?
30.
All right. So let's say when you're my age, 45, if the next 15 years, every time you have an ICI, whatever bowl, this smoothie bowl.
Yeah.
If you have a smoothie bowl and your thought is, ooh, I would like to have a little bit more. And you just like, well, now I'm going to throw it away. Do you think at 45, and at your goal weight that you're going to care that you have that thought every single time?
No, because I will be at my goal weight.
Yeah. It won't be because you'll be at your goal weight. It's because you're going to have thrown it away so many times. You realize there's not a big deal to have that thought and throw it away. Right yeah. now, you think that thought is a big deal. I don't yeah. want it to be so difficult. So your real circumstance line is I see eyeball with thought of I want a little more. This is the real circumstance we have going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what happened in your brain. So this is why I'm giving you this as a circumstance. What most of you will do is you will work the thought of I want a little more. And I want to work the thought as a circumstance because yeah. that's what's actually giving you the pain, not the thought. It's the thought about the thought. So your thought is, I don't want to work this hard.
Yeah.
And how does that feel?
I know I'm only going to choose one, but I felt frustrated and annoyed. So I think more annoyed.
Annoyed.
Yeah.
Okay. And so here's what happens. The action line doesn't become overeat. The action line becomes throw away after a mental fit.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And then we end up, I don't want to work this hard. It's like the result is after you throw it away with a mental fit is you're not making it as easy as you can.
Yeah.
What do you think is the only thing that has to change here? It's not the ICI bowls and it's not the food.
No, my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if, like, literally, I really want you to just, like, think about this. What do you think happens with me when, let's say, I'm having wine and I want to finish the glass and I know I've had plenty. Or I go out with Chris and I order my French fries and I know it's just time to stop. Do you think I'm just like, I'm the queen. I know what to do.
No, you don't do that.
No.
I wanted to make a joke, but I was like, I'll be serious. No, I don't think you do that. But yeah.
Here's what I don't do. I don't think this is a hard decision.
Yeah. It's just like, well,
I think it's normal to want more.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do that. And then I sit with the discomfort of wanting more.
Yeah.
The reason why it's easier for me is because I've done it so many times now that I've proven that I can sit there and be around some French fries for about 2 to 3 minutes wanting them. And then it kind of goes away and it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just haven't practiced enough sitting around it, knowing that you're making it harder and to be like, well, I'm still not having it. I don't have to think that this is going to be the way it is for the rest of my life. Like, I don't need all that chatter. That's the chatter I want you working on first.
Yeah.
Like, let's take that part out so that you can normalize. Like, one of the books, what is the name of the book? I don't have it with me. One of the books that the 6-Day Girls are reading talks about this. But there's another book. Kathy, what's the name of the book? The Normal Rules of Eating? If I was you, I would read that book. All of you. It's a great book. It's an old book. That's not the one the 6-Day Girls are doing, but The Rules of Normal Eating. That's the name of it. It's really yeah. good because what they talk about, what I think that all of us that have struggled with weight that we don't understand is that normal weight people have the same thoughts we do. Like, I'd like to have more of that. Boy, that tastes good. Ooh, that's going to be hard to stop. They do that too. They just don't get worked up over it. And they still make a choice like, but you know what? I really don't want to be stuffed tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a very passive, low energy experience. Whereas this model is an annoyance and very frustrating. So it's like understanding when I have the thought, I want a little more, rather than saying, I don't want to work this hard. What could you immediately go to? What could you start thinking?
When I have this, when the C is the same, even with the thought?
Yeah, let's put icy eyeball, sleeve of Oreos, whatever. It really doesn't matter what the food is.
Mm-hmm.
I want a little more.
I was thinking just like, but that's okay to like want more. It doesn't mean that I have to have it.
Mm-hmm. This ain't a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think just because you and I've coached so much, I think one of the like patterns for you is making your thoughts a big deal.
Yeah.
I think you're starting to get, like, I can tell in your energy level, you're really starting to get to the idea of noticing, like, maybe I'm the one making this harder. It's not really my thoughts that are hard. It's my judgment about them.
Yeah.
So spending even more time watching yourself, noticing when I'm annoyed, when I'm frustrated, and saying, what am I thinking right now? And is that thought, is it, am I supposed to be annoyed at my thoughts? No.
Yeah.
I've worked a lot on this.
I think the good thing that I'm working on is just like working on time management in general. And I always feel like I'm wasting time by doing this, by like thinking about all the things and make a decision and move on. But I know this is one thing. This is one of the few things that I'm still struggling with, and knowing when to be like, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. Move on.
And I think for like, this is just my opinion, guys. This is not the necessary coach in me, but this is someone who's experienced what you guys have all have experienced. And I watched so many of you go through this, is really learning how to stop eating when you just want to. And it doesn't even have to be because you're sad or upset or anything. Food tastes good. Like, in us trying to expect, like, we're supposed to be sitting on some tuft cloud of superiority where, like, we have no desire to eat food that tastes good and keep eating is ridiculous. I mean, it's like a ridiculous idea that we should, that we have about ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when we hold ourselves to the standard that there's a version of us out there who's never going to be tempted to eat more than she needs, you're always going to feel annoyed when you're not living up to her.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always be thinking something's going wrong when you just want to eat more. I just know from experience, what I want all of you to understand is, you're going to lose your weight and you're still going to want to overeat at times. You still are going to overeat at times. You're still going to do those things. You're just like, I want you to like think, you know what my future self does? She's human. She doesn't turn into some food robot.
Yeah.
And when we really start identifying that, oh, that's what my future self really looks like, then when you're having thoughts now, like, I want more, you know, it's so normal. It's like, well, yeah, I paid money for it. It tastes really good. When I started eating, I was really hungry. Like, you'll have all these reasons why it's like, of course I would want more. Doesn't mean I'm going to eat more, but I can totally explain why I would want more. Rather than, this is a bad thought. This is what gets me in trouble. This is why I'm so overweight. I'm never going to get fixed unless this thing right here changes.
What are you talking about? I will say that.
Right.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's a good call.
Okay, let me work on my money problem now.
Yes, go to Ask Coaches and work on your money problems.
I will. Thank you very much.
Same thoughts.
Yeah, no, it is similar. It's similar.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, MB, let's go. This time I have faith in the two of our Zoom accounts. I'm just telling you guys, I'm sweating so bad right now. Y'all may think this is cute, but all it's doing is making sweat. Like, there's like, I don't have a bra on. I wore this top purposely.
Now you can't see me.
And I'm like rolling the sweat. It's okay. Don't there start moving around.
There we go. Sorry about that. I'm new to this.
Yeah, it's okay. All right. What are we coaching on?
Well, we're coaching on Black Friday. I did not have a good re-entry plan. And so I'm a June baby and I have lost 30 pounds.
Good for you.
Doing all the things. So I went into Thanksgiving with a plan. I had a protocol and I nailed it. I actually ate less than what I had planned. Okay. I had less alcohol. I had only one dessert. So I was feeling really good. I have a history of binging, for many, 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 many years. And it's probably the one thing that is the most, disturbing to me about my food issues. I know that sounds dramatic, but,
It sounds very dramatic. It doesn't sound helpful.
It's my biggest issue.
It doesn't sound helpful the way you're talking about it. It's like, you could just say like, I binge eat. It doesn't have to be like, I don't know. What all did you just describe it as?
I hate that I binge eat. I hate that I binge eat. I'll say that. So going back Thanksgiving Day, I felt so great. I did the same thing for vacation in July and nailed it and felt so good about the whole thing. Friday, I had to work. I'm a nurse, so I had to work on Friday. And I had kind of a plan in my head about my day of eating. And what ended up happening was I went to work and people started bringing in all this yummy stuff that's like right there. And I kind of tried to fight it most of the day. You know, I wasn't at my negative two. I'll wait till I'm at my negative two. I'll stop at my plus two.
And that's fighting it?
No.
In your brain? Okay. I want to make sure, like,
no.
That sounds like great questions to ask.
No, what I'm saying is I wanted to eat it right away. And I was like, no, I'm not going to eat it right away. I'm not hungry.
Okay. So you have amazing tools in place.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
So the problem was I ate what I said I was going to eat, what I brought to work, but then I started grab-assing on other things. And then in my brain, it's like a downhill, it just kind of like starts rolling. And then I started eating. And so then the rest of the night I ate and it actually turned into it was a binge by Friday night. I went to bed extremely full, heartburn, sick in my stomach. I haven't done that for probably since May.
So before we get into just like what happened on Friday, where are you at on yourself in terms of, are you making this a big deal? That this happened? Because you're like, and you know it hasn't happened since May.
I'm making it a big deal because it's one of the things that I really am working on. And your program has really given me a lot of hope that I actually don't have to be a binge eater anymore, that I can sit with discomfort.
You do know you're not a binge eater now, right? Probably not.
I mean, I did it on Friday. That was 2 days ago. So,
but you know, calling yourself a binge eater is here are the English words out of the dictionary I've decided to assign myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think that they feel very good to you.
No, they don't feel good at all. Because I don't want to be that.
Then what if we just don't be that? What if we just don't use because we overate on Friday? No matter how much the food was and no matter how much your brain wants to go to prove that you have a problem and this is I hate it and all this other stuff. Like, I want you to really think about how you're talking about it and you're wondering why anytime you overeat, the only thing, if you hang on to that identity of yourself, every overeat is going to send you into panic rather than sending you forward to just figuring out, oh, I wonder why I overate. I wonder why wonder why I ate so much. Oh, it might just be because I didn't have a plan. I proved to myself on Thursday, having a solid plan and on vacation, that planning works for me. I didn't have one Friday. That the only problem I can see is I didn't have a good plan.
I did do a recovery worksheet also on yesterday morning. I did it, and I thought maybe I feel like I definitely am an emotional eater, and I feel like there have been emotions that have been coming up around the holidays and my kids coming home and things like that, that I did not TDL or journal about. Okay. I just kept saying, oh, I'll do that later. I'll do that later. I'll do that later. Okay. And then sometimes I feel like that kind of builds up. And then I start eating for relief, as I used to in my past.
But I want to just stop you for a second.
Okay.
I'm trying to offer this is not a big deal.
Okay.
That there's just solutions. There's just things to start trying. We can take the, like, what if we just call it something else? What if we just don't get personally worked up over it? And here where you are. But I need to tell you this too. I really need you to understand the severity of what's going on here so that I can validate all of my shame and worry.
Mm-hmm.
You're spending time validating shame and worry.
Okay.
And fear. Rather than like the hardest part for people who have tied their identity to being an emotional eater and a binger is actually letting go of it. I know that sounds crazy, but sometimes you guys think like, if I don't consider this a problem, I'll go off the deep end or I don't even know what, but I watch you guys blow up on this all the time.
So just say I overate on Friday. I didn't have a good plan. What I did on Saturday. I didn't have a plan. You're right. I didn't have a plan.
Yeah. It's like, well, I can see why I would overeat. I can see why like negotiation would rise. Like I can see why my brain would want to eat more that day. My brain wasn't even set in the direction of where I wanted to be that day. So it would make sense that my old behaviors would come back in. It would make sense that, you know, I'm at work. If I haven't been TDLing on these things, it would make sense why this would happen. Like, I think what you guys don't do enough of is like, oh, it would make sense that this would happen. You guys are so sold on this shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you binge and it's up here in the C line, it's over and done with. We now have the past. It is no different. This binge circumstance is just like, this planner is a book. They're just facts now. And thinking like this shouldn't have happened, you get nowhere with it. I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
If this isn't a problem, you would never hate it.
Mm-hmm.
If this is just something that happened, that you're like, I'm unwinding it. I'm figuring out. I need to make sense of what, like, of course I would binge for a reason. I just need to figure out what the reasons are. The reasons why I binge could be one, I for sure didn't have my plan that day. Two, I notice I'm getting worked up about my kids coming home and all this other stuff. Probably should do a TDL. Like I need to use this for positive, not to sit around and be worried I'm going backward or whatever's going on in your brain. That is the distraction to keeping you from moving forward.
Okay.
Tell me how you want to be thinking about binging. I know how you do think.
Yeah. I would like to be thinking about binging that I can have control of it. I would like to feel in control of it. Does that make sense at all? Like, I would like to feel like I can choose to not do that.
And I want you to watch this video again. And when you say those words, I want you to realize all of that is available to you right now. Even when you're binging, if you will remind yourself that this is not something to hate, this is not a bad thing. Because when you're doing that, you're never going to think, I can stop whenever I want. In the moment that I've decided I have enough, because here's the truth. You stopped. You just stopped at the point of where heartburn and discomfort came into play. You stopped when you left work. that was still a choice. Mm-hmm. We just don't think we actually stop it. We think the binge just ends. The binge ends because at some point we stop. Mm-hmm. So knowing you always have the power and like telling yourself over and over again in the moment of when you're binging, I do have control over this. Right now, the control that I have is I'm eating all I can. That's still me being in control. Control's never left me. Mm-hmm. This is just not what I want to be doing. But it's not because I'm out of control. Mm-hmm. Allowing yourself to really believe you're always in control. It may, like, I love the idea of like saying to myself, I may not feel like I'm in control right now, but that doesn't mean I'm not. Mm-hmm. It just means I'm thinking things that make me feel out of control. That always puts all the like responsibility and ownership on you, and you mm-hmm. don't give it to the binge.
Well, one of the things that helped me on Saturday, so that it ended Friday and I did not continue, which, you know, honestly, in the past, I could have continued for months, but it ended Saturday morning. And basically, because I heard all the things that you say, like the people that are most successful in weight loss, they keep going no matter what. They choose the next right thing. You know, it was funny because even when I wanted to do it on Saturday morning to start up again, I heard you in my head go, well, that's a no. And I was just like, that's a no. It's a no. Not happening today.
I want you to hang on to the idea. Like, that's the power of listening to all of these calls. Like, when people mm-hmm. listen, whether or not you are applying things in the moment, you never know. I always love this idea of you never know when something you've heard is going to matter the most. Mm-hmm. You just don't know when that moment's coming. So you might as well be listening to the stuff. You might as well be applying. You've been doing all of it. You proved you get to have control whenever you want. Mm-hmm. You proved mm-hmm. that this is not a recurring thing. You could have kept going. You could have made this a bigger deal than it is. You chose not to.
So what do you think the important thing is when we go into the holidays in December? Is just, I was trying to find your re-entry plan that you videoed. I couldn't find it. I was searching it everywhere, trying to find it.
We'll link it. It's in the gift of fat for December
stuff. Okay.
It's probably also in the video replays, but Kathy, go find it. It was in,
I couldn't find it in the video replays.
It's probably not titled re-entry plan. That's okay. Probably why you can't find it. But we'll find it. Kathy will link it in here. We'll also link it in the show notes so that you'll have it.
Because I think that's going to be key for me in the month of December.
Yeah. Like, so here's I'll give you the down and dirty on reentry plans. Reentry plans are about, and I think it's also in the Gift of Fat workbook for this month also, if I'm not mistaken, there's some information there. But I did that stuff 3 months ago, so we can't rely on Corinne's brain to remember everything all the time. The big thing about reentry plans is thinking about, okay, here's how I do mine. Here are the things that I'm going to have set up for myself. So if I'm coming off of a vacation or a trip or Thanksgiving or whatever, I know what I'm going to need in place the next day or the next few days. So like if I'm going on vacation, I know that healthy food needs to be here. Otherwise, I'm going to be overwhelmed with everything I have to do to catch up from coming back off of a trip or something. The refrigerator is going to be empty. We've already been eating all the things anyway, probably. So it's mm-hmm. going to be more tempting to want to just keep on doing that when I get back. So I learned a long time ago to make sure that, like, if I didn't do anything, I would come. She just linked it. If I didn't do anything, I would go to the grocery store before I came home. Like, I would drop Chris off literally with the luggage, and I would go immediately to the grocery store to get our groceries because I was not going to have a house empty and me feeling bloat from vacation and feeling like it's going to be so hard. It's going to be all things. Like, no, I start setting myself up for success. And that is, I think, the biggest mindset. It's mm-hmm. also having a solid plan. I always make reentry plans either on the airplane ride home, the car ride home, or before I even leave. I just have it all done. So that there's, I just don't want to be left with my post vacation trip, holiday, whatever brain that's going to be, you know, feeling like when I go on vacation, I'm just going to tell you, I gain weight every single time. And when I come home, I want to be focused on what I'm going to be doing to, you know, get the bloat back off, not focused on the bloat and feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And then looking back at my vacation, wishing I hadn't done all that shit is such a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally get that. I always gain weight on vacation, or even I weighed myself on Friday morning. Yeah. It was my weigh day. And I'm like, this is data. This is not a big deal. And I was up 3 pounds. And I really, honestly, I know what it is. I knew what it was. Yeah. Because in the past, I gain a lot of weight very quickly. I hold on to all that like salt and water, mm-hmm. and I dump it off in like 4 days.
Yes.
If I eat healthy.
Almost every single person, like if you've been eating 2 to 2, and you've cleaned your food up at all, like you can still have some stuff, but if you've cleaned your food up at all, the first time you go on a date, like I can go out on date night and have 2 glasses of wine and some nachos and the scale will be up 3 pounds the next day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This does not mean date night's a problem.
Yeah.
This means eat your salads. It's not date night anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and then things normalize, you know, and it's like when we act normal and we think normally, things normalize. When we go douche-tastic on ourselves, we send ourselves down a road that we probably don't want to go, or we're just making it harder on ourselves to do the things we can do no matter what.
Right.
Okay. So I think just for you, like I would go back through this. It's like say, okay, now I want to look at this binge without my judgmental lens. If I was looking at this and I wasn't judging myself, what would I be learning? What would I be figuring out? What would I be willing to try next time? And then I would also tell myself, like, you need some go-to statements for things to tell yourself. This is all going to be in the no BS or new no BS. I don't know why my words are like backward today. I feel like every word I've tried to say is backward. But in that, we're going to have a section where we talk about urges in a little bit more detail than we've ever done before. And one of the things we talk about is the conversation to have before an urge, the stuff that goes on during it, and then the post-urge, whether you respond to it by eating or you respond to it by not eating.
Yeah,
so there's going to be a lot of that information in there. But you can
that's
do
great.
That work now pretty easily by just saying, you know what, when I want to binge and I like, here's how I know I'm going to want to binge. Here are the things I normally tell myself. Like most people, like it's not sneaking up on us. Mm-hmm. We start having the chatter. Like you, here's how I know you knew, because you're like, it just all of a sudden I was thinking about food all day and it was like I was fighting it. You know the difference between you who's tempted and it's not a big deal and you who is like, I might be going to binge. Because the conversation is a lot louder and harder, and she typically says these things. So knowing what that voice is like and how it feels in your body and the things you think about, so that you're like, all right, when this is happening, rather than panicking, I want to know the things that I can tell myself and the things that I can try. Like, I just want plans. And then have it written on index cards. Keep it in your purse and stuff. You have to go to the bathroom. Just go to the bathroom. Put it on your phone in the notes section. Like, these are the things. And be like, it might be hard, but I would rather be trying this stuff than to be sitting there going, oh my God, it's starting and I don't know what to do. And it's so hard. I hate this.
And panicking.
Wasted energy. So like have a plan. And then the same thing happens for, you know, the next time you binge. Like this is, and I know this freaks out binge eaters, just like overeaters. Like, okay, we're going to talk about the next time this happens.
Yeah, but that makes my
figuring out how that's not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, we can figure that out, but we can also have a plan for in case it does, so that we're not sitting around for days crying and wondering if we're broken and how much we hate it. If it's not a big deal, it won't become such a big deal. So you have your like mid-binge strategy of like when it starts and I'm face down in a sheet cake or whatever's happening with me, I want to know the things I can tell myself in that moment. Like, what is it that I'm usually saying to myself in that moment? Because most of you, what will happen is you'll start binging, and then you have this window of self-loathing that you do to get you to eat more so you can turn off all things. Like, there's a part where you kind of just go numb after a while. It's like, I'm just eating. I've just been like, fuck it. And you're not even thinking about it anymore. And you're really thinking about the food. So it's like understanding, like, what is my voice that comes up when I am in the middle of it? What am I saying to myself? Am I probably not, you know, you can control this at any time. It's probably like, you're never going to figure this out. You're going to gain weight. You might as well eat all of it because tomorrow we're going to have to be good again. Like, we have those voices. Knowing those voices is where the power is. Most of you don't want to know those voices because you judge yourself for having them. But when you know them, it's like, oh shit, here it comes. I know what this is about. And I have a prepared set of things to do and scripts to work on.
And then so I can bring my Saturday thoughts and actions into Friday, like planned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you do the same exercise for post-binge. Let's say, like, I tried to not eat, but I ate. I tried to stop, but I just kept going. It's like, all right, then we're just on to phase three. Phase three, this is how it goes down. I'm not going to beat myself up. Here's what I am going to do, though. I will process it like a banshee because I will figure this out. And there's no harm in believing you'll figure it out. And there's zero harm in not beating yourself up over it.
Yeah, that sure hasn't worked in the past. So
no.
I have to try something else.
I love it when somebody tries to prove to me how if I just beat myself up long enough, then I'll get my shit together. And I'm like, yeah, how's that working?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably lose weight and quit binging, loving ourselves. It's going to be a way more pleasant experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's see what time we got. Cause I got a call. I got the 6 day girls at 2:00. All right. Nicole Graham. Everybody do a check on their phones. Make sure your hands raised for a reason. I don't want no ding dong ditchers. I don't know what I think. Nicole, raise your hand again. That was my fault. I totally hung up on you. Sorry. I hit the wrong button. I do that sometimes. Okay, now we're good. Oh, there we go. All right, what are we coaching on?
Well, Amok is in my accountability group, and I saw her, and I committed to getting coached if I saw other people do it. So here.
Oh, look at y'all. Do y'all have a name?
Cute and Curvy.
Cute and Curvy. I always love y'all's names. I just think y'all. I would like to tell everyone that if you don't know, the One Taco Bitches, which is a big accountability group, they're doing something called the Overdo It December. So rather than overdoing the food and the stress and all that stuff, they're going to 1 week overdo sleeping. 1 week they're going to overdo water. They're going to overdo paying attention to their hunger scale. And they're going to overplan the final week. I was like, that's awesome. So smart. So they're coming up with all the kinds of ways that, like, how could we overdo these things? So anyway,
that's
I just thought
awesome.
It was cute.
Is their name because they're telling each other you can have one taco bitch? Like, is that what it is?
I don't know. They call themselves hashtag the OTBs, but they're the One Taco Bitches. I think it's like don't eat two, just eat one.
Just one. Right. Right. Yeah. So I want to be coached on my eating with television. I've noticed kind of a pairing of a show and then wanting, in my mind, to enhance the experience with a kind of snacky type food.
Yeah.
And again, I'm a little nervous, and that's my first coaching, but I did this yesterday and committed to myself if I did it one more time, I would get on a call.
Okay. So what is stopping you from just not doing it? Because I'm going to promise you that, because I do this, like whenever we want to watch a movie or something, we always naturally want Halo Top, or it's like, oh, this should be a Subway night. If we're going to watch a movie, we should go get Subway Top chip. Like, it does enhance the experience.
Okay. All right. Well,
I mean, there's no, I mean, your brain is not faulty. I'm just going to tell you, watching TV, which is already entertaining, and shoving food in your mouth, which is entertaining. Yes. It's an explosion of experience.
All right. Well, I think I kept wanting to not have that thought and was, you know, resisting against that. But okay. So it is entertaining to other folks. Fantastic. Cause
yeah,
I do that all the time.
To me too.
Right. Right. But I don't know if it's a problem then. I mean, in listening to the last call, it is in the past. It was yesterday. I've gotten right back on plan. It's happened.
Here's how we know if it's a problem. If you are planning that food and having it while you're watching television and you're able to stop at your two and you're able to lose weight, it's not a problem. But if you're doing it and it's off plan eating just because you want to and it's slowing down your weight loss, then yeah, we're not getting the result we want with that line of behavior. Okay. So it's not the thought this is entertaining. I don't think that's the issue.
It's two things
with.
I just want to give you a heads up. I am nursing my daughter right now. So if you hear screaming or movement,
it's okay.
Just so you know, nurse away. I think there's been a pattern, at least for two of the last three, where she's been sick and I either am home alone with her or, like yesterday, I just came back from the pediatrician's urgent care. So I'm bored in the sense that I'm going to put on a movie. I'm alone with her and she's not feeling great. And then I think to myself, I know these almonds aren't on plan, but let me go grab the bag. So I'm not portioning. I'm just kind of eating until like I can't stop, which is like half of, I don't know, a 3-pound bag or something. So it is problematic because it's slowing my weight loss. It was not on plan at all. And at some point I caught myself. So it was no longer a fog. And I thought, oh, well, this tastes good. Let me have a couple more. Well, this tastes good.
Yeah.
And then it sounds really stupid, but like I'll eat two at a time so that both sides get to crunch at the same time. So like
quit
deal.
Judging yourself for this stuff. That is some of the stuff that I would do too. I'm just going to tell you right now, you know, there's just, we all have little things that give us pleasure. It's like this, it's not stupid. It's just here. Like I notice the things that I do that are creating pleasure. It's really figuring out why in the moment you're wanting to feel that relief and pleasure. And I think you've already kind of figured it out. Like, I notice I want to do this more when my daughter has been sick. So it's probably more about the thoughts around your daughter being sick and why you would be seeking relief. Mm-hmm. You're not seeking relief from her being sick. It's what are you making it mean when she's sick?
Sorry, that was her.
That was hilarious.
What am I making it mean when she's sick? Maybe it's a little bit of like helplessness, like not able to fix this immediately for her. Maybe mixed with some loneliness because husband older children are out doing something or at school or whatever the case is. I'm literally in the house alone. Loneliness. It's also a mix of kind of like idle time. If she wasn't home sick, I would be able to, you know, do something productive or.
That's what I was wondering. So this is something that I commonly see, especially when we are doing things where, like, it's this idea that I was supposed to be doing this. Now I'm doing this. And we feel like we're not being productive when we're taking care of our daughter. Because we're judging being productive with cleaning the house or whatever it is you think you should be doing, right? These other
definitely
things.
Not Mom, cleaning, Corinne, but I gotcha.
Is it like five?
Well, like taking off from work.
What?
Taking off from work.
Yeah. So in that moment, a lot of times we eat to feel productive. It's like we're seeking relief from our thoughts, but we're also feeling like we're doing something.
That's true.
And so noticing that pattern is really important because I see this happen a lot of times with moms that stay home is that when their kids get sick or when their kids have sports and all this stuff, they have this laundry list of things that they want to be doing around the house. Like, I've got all this laundry, I got all these things, I got all the stuff.
Right.
And when they're not able to do that, or they just need to actually take a break, they eat to feel productive.
Mm. Yeah, I could see
noticing,
that.
Noticing, oh, that's what I'm doing in this moment. I don't think that there's like a big thought shift change other than this is where I'm at. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I've taken off work. There's no sense in thinking I should be at work when I'm here because sure. I'm not there. Like, that is always going to be a thought that will never help me. So, like, understanding, mm-hmm. like, all of that and knowing that one of the triggers for you to know that you may be in that land is when you're trying to go get some food when it's off your plan. I just think for all of you, we yeah. don't have to dig into the recesses of our brains to find shit. It's very simple. If you catch yourself eating off plan, ask yourself in that moment, why am I doing this right now? If it's not because I'm hungry, there's some other reason. It could be simply I'm avoiding my chores. I think I should be someplace else rather than mm-hmm. where I'm at. I'm lonely. Like, just knowing why you're doing it sometimes is enough to get you to like say, and I'm not going to eat.
Right. Right. I think you are exactly right. Cause I'm sitting there thinking I should be working or I should be going to the gym or I should be like, you know, this is self-care time. I should be in a bath. Like, this whole list of things I never have time for.
Yeah. And I think it's also.
This is her, like, by the way.
She's a cutie patootie, by the way. I'm like staring at her over here. I think it's just you being aware of what you think life is supposed to be right now, where you should be and all mm-hmm. that you should be doing. And just being like, that's just my brain. That's not exactly what's supposed to be happening. That is one version of what I think should be happening. But if I was really going to paint the real picture, here's what really is happening. When my daughter's sick, I step up. It's a much mm-hmm. better way to think about it than, well, I should be at work. I bet they're all disappointed.
Right.
That's why it's just really, it's fine. It's really important for us to really catch ourselves how we self-describe who we should be. Because it was just like I was talking about Amaka earlier. When we have this idealized version of what we're supposed to be doing, then anything that's contrary will run it straight into the wall of that. And it will feel wrong. Mm. And it will feel like you need relief from it. It will just, it sets you up. There's no idealized version of all of us. If you're going to create one you actually can live up to.
That's true.
Like, you know what? Like for me, the idealized version of me is someone who, like, when she gets fucking tired, she just takes a break and doesn't beat herself up.
Right.
I'm not the kind of person who follows her plan 24/7 so that when I'm not doing that, I feel like shit.
All right. Yeah. All right. Kids homesick is not the time to start training for a marathon.
No, I love Rachel Hollis talks about this, and I believe, I don't know if it's in Girl Wash Your Face or Girl Stop Apologizing. I wish I knew which one. By the way, Girl Wash Your Face was way better than Girl Stop Apologizing. But she says there's seasons in life. And sometimes we may want to do like a half marathon, but when we have a newborn who's going to get sick and we have life's responsibilities, it's not to say that mm-hmm. you can't, but it's always to question, is this the right season for this?
Right. Yeah. Very wise, Corinne. Thank you.
I try.
you were gentle on me, so thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. That's because I'm sweating. Bye.
Thank you.
I try not to yell at y'all all the time. Like, I only yell, like, selectively. All right. I'm going to answer one more question over here, and then I'm going to get out of here because I need to take a sweat break. I'm probably going to have to change my clothes and then get on over to the sixth day. How do you determine Queen's Club? Was reading an old journal from December of 2018, and I weighed 232 pounds. I'm an April baby. I started at 219. Today, I'm at 202. You could go ahead and join the Queen's Club if that's where you started with. Here's the way I like to think about the Queen's Club. I don't care where you lose your 25 pounds. You can lose it with me. You could lose it with Oprah. You can lose it with you, bro, in the gym, whatever. Weight loss is something to be celebrated no matter what. When you go to the Queen's Club, guys, you're just getting another Facebook group where the girls are over there talking about what it's like once you've lost 25 pounds and the next set of things. So in our No BS update that's coming out, we're going to have a phase four. So everything's going to be broken down into four phases now. Rather than having the five success paths, we now have four very distinct phases. Phase one is just all about losing weight. It is about how do you get up from mistakes. It's about the four basics. It's about the things. Phase two is all about thinking thin. I'm really taking you through how to do your journaling and how to do your models and stuff to get the most traction so that you can start thinking like a thin person, having that relationship with food like a thin person, identifying your old diet mentality, substituting it out and stuff. It's really geared towards focusing in on that. Phase three is going to be all about the overeating, overcoming overeating. So we're taking some of our bonus courses and we're pulling out the best things and we're including it now into phase three. So it's going to be a very comprehensive lesson on urges, cravings, temptations. I don't even remember what all's in there. There's so much in there. What to do before and after urges, what to do if you're a binge eater. We're going to do a lot of brain science as to why it's so easy to overeat and how we got here to begin with. And then how do you change your overeating? We're going to go into all the things that come up when you're trying to change it. We're also going to go into the tips and tricks and hacks for stopping your overeating. And then we're going to have a phase four. And in phase four, that is going to be, it's called 20 to life time. So for all of you who are on your last 20 pounds, who have less than 20 pounds, we have a whole section for what is unique there and what's different and how to get in, what do you do in that stage? We also have a maintenance stage. I just hit maintenance. Now what? What is life like? We're going to talk about the old clothes. We're going to talk about identifying as the thin version of you. What do you do with other people's opinions who are saying you're losing too much weight, all that kind of stuff. And then the final part of it is, let me see. I'm going to forget what the final part is. It's maintenance life, loose skin. You're never going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect in maintenance either. And what do you do with the fear of regaining your weight? So I really love this version because I think it's really hitting on all the things that we talk about. And it's now going to be all in a system. And you'll go through the phases, and even if you don't have just 20 pounds to lose, you can always take phase four at any time because it will start addressing some of the things that you need to think about for your future self. Because you're going to lose all your weight. You're going to be her one day. And this will go ahead and start putting some of that stuff in front of you so that you can be oh, and it's normal when I start thinking these things. Because some of the stuff that's in the 20 to lifetime part is stuff that comes up for us, especially when you have a lot of weight to lose, like I did. When you lose your first 50 or 60, you start fearing you're going to regain your weight. You start noticing your loose skin. You start having to establish the relationship with yourself. Okay, guys, I'm going to get off here. If you're coming to the sixth day, ladies, I'll see you in 20 minutes. Bye, y'all.